Open up your Bibles to the book of Genesis. I'm going to finish off the first chapter. So we're looking at Genesis chapter 1, verses 28, all the way to chapter 2, verse 1. It says this, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.' And God said, 'Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruits, in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I've given every green plant for food.' And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them." Well, this morning's message, Pastor titled it, "Six Evenings, Six Mornings, Six Days. Behold, it was very good." Pastor?
Thank you, Carrie. And good morning.
Good morning!
And it is indeed a good morning, because not only can God create the universe in just 6 days, he did create the universe in 6 days. So today we're going to look at one last look at Genesis 1. We're going to do an overview of the chapter. The past four Sundays, we've been looking at the specifics of what happened on each day, and how that relates to our faith, and what that means for us as Christians. I encourage you, if you haven't heard all four of those messages, to go back and listen to them. There's a lot that the Word of God says about creation and what happened on these 6 days in the beginning. But I want to ask the question really briefly before we go to the text. Why is it important that we believe that God created the universe in just 6 real days? 24-hour days. What does that matter to us? Especially when the scientific community does not believe, for the most part, that the universe was created in 6 days. And many in the church at large do not believe that these were 6 24-hour days. They say that these days were longer and encompassed more time. So why? Why should we believe that these were 6 real days? I would say, for the first thing, if you read Genesis 1 and just take it for what it says, it really does seem to be saying that these are 6 24-hour days. Second, there's lots of good arguments from the scripture that I have gone over, a lot of them in the past four sermons, that these days have to be taken as 6 real 24-hour days. But even more than that, the problem with not taking these 6 days as 6 real 24-hour days is that we attempt to limit what God can do based on what we think is reasonable for us. We think, well, there's no way this could have happened in this amount of time, according to the way we understand the world, therefore we must not take this as 6 real days. Because it doesn't make sense according to the way we think things could and should happen. But I will tell you, if we think this way about the Word of God, about what God is telling us happened in His Word, then suddenly we have to begin to question all sorts of things that the Bible tells us about what God has done. We question the 6 days of first, but then we have to question the global flood, because that doesn't make sense according to what we understand. Then we have to question the plagues of Egypt, the rivers turning to blood, and the bugs filling the waters, and the every firstborn child and animal dying all at once, on one day, all at the same time. For us, that does not make scientific sense. And we must question it if we're going to question a lot of things that the Bible says. But then we have Jesus. People were sick for 50 years. They were blind from birth. And Jesus would touch them and they would be completely healed in an instant. And he would speak a word as they were healed. And it happened because he spoke, which is very similar to God speaking in Genesis 1. And then Lazarus had been dead for several days. And Jesus, he spoke to the dead Lazarus. Did Lazarus then start to heal over time because he was still a little alive? And over the course of several weeks, he started to regain his composure and he stood up and everybody said, oh, he's been healed because his body, his cells were regenerating him the whole time and he was healed. No, he was completely dead. He was rotting. His body was rotting. And Jesus spoke with a word and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he got up and came out and was alive again because Jesus spoke and it happened. It says that there was a great storm when Jesus and the other disciples were in the boat. And the storm was about to kill all of them. It was a horrible storm. It was about to kill all of them. And Jesus said, calm, be still. He spoke, and the storm immediately abated. How can we believe that according to what we understand about the way the world works? We can't. And finally, the resurrection itself. If we cannot believe the resurrection, Paul says that we have no hope if there was no resurrection. There is no Christian life. There is no heaven. We will die and have no hope without the resurrection. So why is it important that we can accept what Genesis 1 is telling us, that God spoke, things happened, they happened in 6 real days, God created the entire universe by his word in 6 24-hour days? Because if we question this, then everything else must come into question. If God cannot do what he's saying he did in Genesis 1, then he probably cannot do any of the other things that he says he did in his word either. That is why when we read it and we study it and we see the scriptural arguments for it being real days, and we look over it and we see the text says there was evening and there was morning one day, and then it says it again, there was evening, there was morning 2 days, the second day. And it does this, and it says in the other places that God created the world in 6 days, as I talked about in the first sermon. We must very carefully evaluate whether we're trying to impose our understanding on the biblical text or whether God's understanding is being imposed on us. We want the latter. So let us pray and get into the text. We're going to go through the 6 days in Genesis 1 very quickly, but we're going to go over it one more time and see what is God saying to us, what really happened. Let me pray. Dear Lord, Father, I believe that you created the entire universe in 6 real days, Father. I believe it because I know you can do that, and I see no reason why you didn't do that, Father. You demonstrate to us your power and majesty and wisdom as you create the universe in 6 days, Father. Thank you for telling us and helping us know that you can do everything, but we can really ultimately on our own do nothing. Father, we are so weak. Father, we are so sinful. Father, but you are so great that in us and through us, you can do amazing things, Father, but only because of who you are, not because of who we are. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 1:1-5, the first day of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. Point number one. In the beginning, on the first day of God's creation, God the Father, through Christ, created the heavens and the earth, which at first had no form. Then God spoke. When God speaks, what he commands immediately happens. And there was light. The light was good. It was without sin or death, and it separated itself from the darkness. The day was separate from the night. The evening was separate from the morning. And there was one day, the first day. Genesis 1:6-8, the second day of creation. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was mourning the second day. Point number two. On the second day of God's creation, God spoke to create an expanse in the midst of the formless waters. This expanse is the sky. Again, when God spoke, the expanse came into being, and it was so. Just as the day and the night had been separated on the first day, the sky above and the waters below were separated on the second day. There was a second evening and a second morning, and there were 2 days the second day. Genesis 1, 9 through 13, the third day of creation. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind, on the earth." He spoke, and it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning the third day. Point number three. On the third day, God spoke to create dry land. It happened just as God commanded. And it was so. The dry land separated the earth from the seas. God saw that all his creation was good and that there was no sin or death. Then God spoke and created plant life, and it was so. There were many different kinds, and they were all good. There was a third evening and a third morning, and there were 3 days the third day. Genesis 1, 14 through 19, the fourth day of creation. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. Point number four. On the fourth day, God spoke to create the sun, the moon, and the stars. These lights would mark the passing of signs and seasons, days and years. They would give a new type of light to the earth. And it was so, just as God wanted it. God set the sun to rule the day, and the moon to rule the night. He set the stars to demonstrate his glory. All of it was good, without sin or death. There was a fourth evening and a fourth morning, and there were 4 days, the fourth day. Genesis 1, 20 through 23. the fifth day of creation. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. Point number five. On the fifth day, God spoke to create living creatures in the seas and birds to fill the skies. There were many different kinds of these creatures in the seas and skies. Then God spoke to bless these creatures so that they would multiply throughout his creation. There was a fifth evening and a fifth morning, and there were 5 days, the fifth day. Genesis 1, 24 through 31, the sixth day of creation, which we will divide up a little bit to cover the last part of the text. 24 through 27 says, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. Point number six. On the sixth and final day of God's creation, he spoke to create the creatures on the land. And it was so, just as God said. Once again, all of this was good. There was no sin or death during the 6 days of God's creation. There were many different kinds of creatures created on this day. Then God did an extraordinary thing. He created man in his own image. He made us in the image of Christ. And God gave humanity dominion, power, and authority over everything on earth that he had created. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Point number seven. Just as God had blessed the creatures in the sea and in the air, God gave an even greater blessing to Adam and Eve, the first human beings. He spoke and blessed them with fruitfulness so that they would be able to subdue the earth. He spoke and gave them authority and power over the fish and the birds. He spoke and gave them dominion over every living thing that moves on the earth. So there's a question that's asked, a theological question of whether this is a blessing or a command. So I will ask that question, is this be fruitful and multiply statement by God, what he says, is this a command that every single person who ever lives, man or woman, must do everything they can in their power to have children? I say no. No, it's not. It is a blessing that God's power brings about, not a command to be obeyed. There may be some questions about that. I encourage you to talk to me later or another time about why I believe that, but I just don't think it makes sense to say that all of us have to make every effort all the time to have children and have as many children as we can. I don't think that's what's going on here. Verse 29 and 30. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. Point number 8. God spoke with his creative power one last time as the sixth and final day of creation came to a close. God gave every plant, every tree to those made in his image for food. At this time, God did not give the meat of animals to be eaten by Adam and Eve. Why not? Why couldn't they eat animals? Because there was no death at this point. There was no death before Adam's sin. Plants and fruit did not have to die to be eaten, but animals did. And we know this. We can look in Revelation, at the end of the Bible, in the new creation, heaven, there will be fruit that we will eat, but that there will not be death. So even though we would eat this fruit, and even though Adam and Eve would eat this fruit and plants, these plants didn't have to die for them to receive sustenance from it. We know that just by what is being said. There was no death at this point. God also gave these plants to his other living creatures to eat. And everything that God spoke was immediately so. Verse 31 of chapter 1. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. All of it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Point number 9. And God saw everything in his creation that he had made. He knew that it was just the way he wanted it. All of it was very good. Not a hint of imperfection in his work. Not a bit of corruption or sin. Not a single thing in the first six days that died. It was also very good because of the power and majesty that God had demonstrated by creating everything in just 6 days. No other living being could or can speak the universe into existence in the way that God had, in the time that God had, with the wisdom that God had. There was one final evening, the sixth evening, one final morning, the sixth morning, and there were 6 days, the sixth day. Genesis 2:1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Point number 10. God had done what only he could do. He had finished his creation in 6 days. He had shown all his excellence, his sovereign control, the magnificence and splendor of everything that he does. And there was no flaw in his creation. But what was the purpose of God's work? Soon, Adam's sin would lead to creation itself being cursed by God. The perfect work of God would be marred by evil, sin, and death. Was this part of God's plan? Surely it was. And all for the purpose of exalting his Son, Jesus Christ, in the gospel. So what is the gospel? What was the purpose of allowing sin to mar God's creation? For this message, for this gospel, for this work that Jesus, his Son, would do. You see, we sin. When Adam sinned and brought sin into the world, we were born in sin because we were descended from him. And we have all sinned and broken God's law. And our punishment, if nothing happens to change it, our punishment will be eternal hell. But Jesus, he became a man. He was born in the form of a man. He did not count equality with his father something that he would hold on to be grasped, it says in Philippians 2. And then he lived a perfect, righteous, holy, sinless life. He suffered intensely while he lived, suffered for our sake. And then if we believe in him, if we trust in him, then his righteousness, his righteous life becomes ours, so that we can be restored into the perfect image of him. And as we are restored, if we're trusting in him, one day the world itself will be restored from the curse of Adam's sin. And then Jesus did more. He went to the cross. He suffered and died on the cross. He submitted himself to the one thing that the universe did not have before Adam's sin. He died. Death was not natural to God's creation, and death was unnatural for Jesus Christ. But he took the wrath of God that we deserve on the cross and submitted himself to this death. And if we trust in him, we will not have to take that punishment. Instead, he has taken it for us, died for us, for our sins, and we can be forgiven. Then on the third day, he was resurrected. The same power that created the universe in 6 days, God's power, resurrected Jesus on the third day, gave him a new physical body that was without any sin. The first sinless physical body since the very beginning, when Adam and Eve were created with a sinless physical body. Jesus had He was the first fruit, his body, of the bodies that we will have if we trust in him in his resurrection. That is the gospel. That is why God allowed Adam and Eve to fall into sin, so that Jesus Christ might be exalted as the Lord and Savior of the universe. Application. Our 3 points of application today come from Psalm 33, 6 through 12. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, because he made the world in 6 days. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. He spoke, and it happened. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. If we think we know better than what God tells us in his word, our counsel is brought to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. We have certain plans that we think we want. He frustrates them. The counsel of the Lord, which is Genesis 1, is part of the counsel of the Lord, stands forever, and the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation, us, if we're trusting in Christ, whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. Point number one. As we come to the close of Genesis 1, what should we take away? We should fear God and stand in awe of him. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. He spoke. By the breath of his mouth, everything was made. He spoke. He spoke and gathered the waters of the sea. He spoke and put the deeps of the ocean in storehouses. And because of his great power, all the earth should fear him. All the world should stand in awe of him. Because he spoke and it came to be. He commanded with his word and things stood firm. Application number two. We should trust in the plans of God and not in our own counsel. God brings all the counsel of every nation on earth that ever was to nothing. When people plan their ways, God frustrates their plans. Because God is Lord of the universe, its creator, his counsel stands forever, and what he plans in his heart will last eternally. Application number three. We should know that as God's people, we are blessed to have the God of creation, the God of Genesis 1, as our God. Because of who God is, blessed is the nation, blessed are the people who can call him their Lord, whom he has chosen as his people. We are blessed to have God as our God through the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, through faith in him. Believe in the God who created the universe in 6 days, because only he could do it this way. 6 evenings, 6 mornings, 6 days. He can, and he did. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, there are many things in your word that are hard to believe, Father. And the world and Satan himself would want to have us not believe the things you say in your word, Father. He would have us question everything, change everything, make it make more sense to us, Father, make it fit with some philosophy or science in the world, just so Satan can rob you of your glory, Father. But you gave us your word, Father. You gave it to us, and you give us your Holy Spirit, and you explain it to us as we study it, Father, and we can see what you want us to believe and believe it no matter what is spoken against it, Father. I pray that we would believe Genesis 1, and as we go into the rest of Genesis, believe all of it, Father, every last word of your word. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.